Right now, it is time to bring in another cool cat, and that is Jim Lynch. Jim joins us, Cover Your Assets. He joins us every week at this time. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, and brings well over 40 years of experience with him to those subjects and more. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, sir, and Jill, and everybody out there.
Good morning.
Let's get going. Got a big show today.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right, we're ready.
Very important. Today, right. Senator Schumer of New York has called for a vote on the proposed reduction of sanctions against a Russian oligarch. He has the right to do that under the Senate rules regarding sanctions. So this incredible attempt to limit sanctions on this big oligarch just flies in the face of everything we're beginning to know right now or we knew before. As you know, we have sanctions against Russia because they brutally killed a man who was uncovering their greed and avarice several years ago. It's the Magnitsky Act. So there will be a vote today to overturn a possible lifting of sanctions against this oligarch. And hopefully, in terms of what we've learned, the Senate will vote for the United States of America and not the personal greed of Donald Trump nor the Russians. Secondly, it's all over the press, though you've seen this for months and months. Donald Trump has been talking to his associates for over a year about getting out of NATO. NATO is one of the greatest peacekeeping organizations ever created by man. It was something after the Second World War that helped us to maintain the peace as best we could from another war, another World War III. His attempt to get us out of NATO sets it up for his pals, the Russians, to be able to have their sway with the Europeans without us being there. So hopefully this is going to come up in the Congress. It'll be investigated. The whole sanction thing will be brought up again, and we'll be able to then get right into how do we get rid of President Trump. I honestly believe, since it says in the Constitution, that the President of the United States is to defend and protect the welfare of U.S. citizens. Well, he is deliberately hurting U.S. citizens with this closing down of most of the federal government. And he's doing it out of pique. He's doing it out of ego. He's doing it because several right-wing pundits have said he must stand tall in trying to get this ridiculous wall done. Let's talk some facts on the wall. Firstly, it'll cost $40 billion. He's arguing that he wants five. The government had already given him $1.6 billion, which indeed had been approved by both the House and Senate. And then he said, oh, I don't want to do it, because he was getting pressure from Rush Limbaugh and Coulter. He therefore said in a meeting with Schumer and Nancy Pelosi on television, he would take he would take the close down. In other words, it was his responsibility. Now, he's subsequently been blaming it on the Democrats, but for shame, he's there on television as he is on many things with the lies. It's very important for us to understand how irrational this man is and how racial and bigoted he is. He had two deals where he would have gotten $25 billion earlier in 2018. The catch for him was he would have to approve DACA. He didn't want to do that because he's a racist. And therefore, they withdrew that. They put something up without DACA, and he couldn't handle that either. He is not defending the country nor the rights of the people. He's given over to the Russians. He's given over to his own ego. We must stop this man. We must get rid of him. My preference is not so much impeachment, rather it's conviction. This man and his family should go to prison. They've been taking all kinds of money from the American taxpayer through using their business connections with the Russians and others to line their pockets. Now, it's going to be a kind of interesting as we go into today and the balance of the week. A fellow named Barr is being put up by Trump for the Attorney General. There'll be a lot of hard questions, particularly in light of what's come to the fore regarding the Russian situation. So if you have the time, you should either tune in to these hearings, or most importantly, you should follow them, get transcripts of them. Don't rely on talking heads and groups of people with their opinion. Hear what is being said. These are very crucial times right now regarding this country. And it's time, if you haven't woken up, to wake up. If you voted for Trump, well, we all make mistakes. The point is not to separate the country further. The point is we want to come together. And we can only come together. It's like cancer. You can only begin to beat it if you cut the cancer out of your arm and live on. We've got to cut the cancer out of this government, of this administration, and so we can all get back together, whatever we voted for, whatever we think. We want to survive as a nation, and we cannot survive as a nation with someone who is the president who's been selling us out to the Russians for years for his own personal greed.
Well, you know, here's my comments on this, Jim. First of all, anybody who knows me, my friends, my liberal friends, my conservative friends, my progressive friends, all know that I'm anti-Donald Trump. I am anti-Donald Trump, and I sit here now, and people haven't heard me call for impeachment, because with the Republican Senate, unless something else comes out that's amazing, it's not going to happen. And so using that term right now makes no sense. It only clogs what's going on in the government. But here's what people have to do, in my opinion. And here's what and no matter who you are and no matter who you support, you've got to do that support on a regular basis. I put up something on my Facebook page the other day that said, it's amazing. We are a country that can send men across the world, across the globe, to protect our rights. And yet, 60% of Americans won't cross the street to vote. Think about that. Our voting turnout is 35% to 40%, all right, of eligible voters. That's just of eligible voters. There's so many other people that aren't even registered to vote. Think of that. We send Americans across the globe, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, our brothers, our sisters. They stand for us. They travel thousands of miles, and they stand in danger. And most of us do not go to the polls and vote.
As usual, you're right on. I remember over the last several years, you're advocating that people learn about their local governments, that they vote for every office that is available to a vote. And don't you know, that came full circle in this last election when a lot of different governors were selected, as well as a lot of young, energetic people came forward, first-timers, I think, to help rejuvenate our government. And most importantly, a lot of the younger people who had been not voting came out. I think, to your point, however, 50%, 35% is not appropriate. 97% is appropriate.
Yeah, because what people don't realize, when we talk about 50% of voters showing up to vote, it's not 50% of the country. It's only 50% of the people that are registered to vote. There's millions and millions of people that aren't even registered.
It is a great, great point. I repeat it. Countless millions are not registered. Do we want to be part of an autocracy? Do we want to be countries where dictators come in and rule the roost and do all things to us, both economically and personally, that we certainly would not want to happen to us. You've got to register to vote. You've got to register to vote, and then you've got to vote. And in the process, you've got to learn what is going on in your country. Not necessarily about some of these personalities and this, that, and the other thing. What is going on in Congress? What are they voting on? Example, the reason I started the show with this thing on Schumer is this is very important, that under that Sanctions Act, a senator could bring up and say, hey, I want to vote on this thing. They're trying to change it. Well, you should know that, and you should know it from just selecting the news site that you need where you get information, not entertainment, but information.
You know, I have arguments with people all the time. People are calling for, we have to get rid of the Electoral College. We have to. No, we don't. The Electoral College is in, for me, was put in for a reason. And the last election that was lost by Hillary Clinton was lost by 7,000 votes because she didn't do well in three states. Well, guess what? The turnout, the Democratic and the voter turnout in those three states was not as high as it should have been. People can keep giving excuses as to why things happen at the polls. But when people show up in large numbers, the right thing happens in the polls. I mean, the right person wins. You know, Brian Oler was a terrific representative in our area in the Connecticut State House. Okay, he was Republican, but a terrific, representative. A strong candidate ran this year. Maria Horn, first time she ran, that vote. That contest was decided by 60-some votes, and literally in our small area, thousands and thousands and thousands of people showed up to vote. That's what you need. That's what this country needs. Throw away all the hyperbole, all the side effects, all the Showtime stuff. It comes down to one thing.
Going to vote.
Going
to
vote.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who, and Jim, it was funny. I referenced to her. She lives in New York. She has a place up in Germantown, New York, also. She lives in the city and has a place up in Germantown, and it has for years and years and years. And I've known this woman for years and years and years and years. And I referenced the person that you mentioned last week who, was so fatuts that she couldn't sleep, couldn't do anything.
Right.
And Susan's response was, I'm really sorry. But what people need to do is get on with their lives and go vote when the time is right to vote. And in the meantime, you need to live. Obviously, inform yourself. But sitting sort of poor gazing is neither efficient nor healthy.
Feeling sorry for yourself, feeling sorry for the situation does nothing to eradicate the situation. And I tell this to people all the time in this country, if you get out and vote, and you get out and vote in numbers, we're more than, like in the last election, the amount of people that voted, 60 some million people. Well, guess what? There's 235, 240 million people who live in this country. And out of that, about 180 million, I think, are of the age to vote. So
that's a one third.
You're looking at one third of the country decides what happens. And
there are stations, hours and hours of TV and print and ink and you name it, devoted and digital brain drain, devoted to that very small percentage. Yeah. And slicing and dicing it in various different ways and pretty much making people psychotic. And there's a lot that isn't getting done while that's happening.
Years ago, Jim, there was a school board. I'm talking about 20 years ago. There was a very nice school superintendent, Marvin Muff Muskowski, great guy, a nice man who was champion of arts in Northwest Connecticut. But he was a superintendent, and the budget vote was defeated five times in a row. And he was going to come on for an interview. And before we interviewed, before we got on the air, he said, "I don't know what to do, Marshall. It's five defeats in a row." And I said to him, "You're speaking to the people that are in the wrong pew. You're trying to convince the naysayers to vote in favor of your budget. What you have to do is go out and have people contact the people that don't vote and have them show up." And sure enough, they did that, and they passed the next referendum. It's a very simple thing in America. One person, one vote. And if you vote, and you vote in mass quantities, you know what?
We sound like a Conehead, but mass quantities.
What happens when that many people vote, and vote for the person they want to, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, guess what? A majority of the country is represented.
That's right.
And no one can complain.
And what is key to that, just a friend of mine who was editor-in-chief of a couple of major magazines, said, you know, if there is a topic that people do not agree on, you know, just flat do not agree on, there is 0 point trying to, this was decades ago, and the topic was abortion, in fact. And she said, if people don't, you're not going to get people who don't agree to suddenly change their minds and say, "Oh wow, yeah, I'm all for this."
It's
not going to happen.
You know, Jim.
So don't. That's not where you direct your energies.
And that's why I like the presentation that you're giving this morning. Is basically, we're telling people, you know what? Get yourself informed. It's not that hard nowadays. Get your opinions together, register to vote, and, you know, if you, instead of having 68 million Americans vote, if you have 120 million Americans vote,
you got a shot.
You guess what? You know, you got a shot at the majority actually of this country winning. I mean, if Hillary Clinton had won, it'd be the same difference. She would have been elected by a minority in the country. So, Jim, what you're saying is people, you know, when it comes to the Senate, when it comes to the Congress, when it comes to your governor, when it comes to your local House seats, you'll get informed and vote.
And get busy.
Amen.
And just
and what you're saying, just to add a little bit to it, is if you vote and if you know, as you've just suggested, more of these people have voted, then at least you can come into concert with the fact that most of my fellow citizens believe we should try and go this way. As it is now, people don't have that information because all of these people are not voting. I just want to say this, however. Take the vote away from people. Take the vote away from people or mitigate it to a great degree, and you'll see how quickly we have a revolution the other way. This vote in this country is one of the most beautiful things on earth. Unfortunately, many of us really just take it for granted. God has blessed this country with incredible largesse, incredible in every way, resources, freedom, great spirit, great people. We cannot take it for granted. We need to nurture it. We need to grow it for ourselves. And for ourselves really means for all of us together in certain projects. For instance, Nancy Pelosi will be talking about voter suppression in the Congress. Well, get yourself together and see what they're saying about it. Yes, there's some voter suppression. How much? I don't know. I haven't studied it. So let's study it, and let's do something about it if it does exist.
Yeah, it's. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, right now, there's America's divided because it's divided because either side, whether you're liberal or whether you're progressive or whether you're independent or whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. You don't feel that your side is being represented correctly in the House or the Senate. And you know what? Those feelings are accurate. You're right. Simply because it's the numbers game. Not enough people have shown up to vote, and you don't really know who is in the majority, if the country is going in the direction most of the people of the country wants or not. You can have all these polls that say, 55% of the people in this country say the country's going in the wrong direction. Well, how many of those people, did they ask them if they voted?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
and I have to say, using online, I'm just sorry to jump in here, but using numbers from online, from SurveyMonkey, et cetera, or where you're just cut off, or you don't have cell phones, or you, or you need real
information.
You're
hitting at a pet peeve of mine. Don't believe in polls. How can you believe in polls? You don't know who's being polled. Somebody might tell you who's being polled, but you have no proof of who's being polled. I don't give a damn who the poll is, NBC, CBS, Pew, or anybody. I want a definitive. I'd like names and numbers of people who are being polled. Otherwise, it's not accurate to me at all.
Correct. And, you know, the best way to find out what people are thinking is to actually talk to them.
Amen.
I'm sorry to say. That's probably drastic. But
I would say... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say that the 2020 election is 658 days away. It's a lot of bloody time. And for people to get going.
I suggest, in terms of what you're saying, Jill, that people might want to get themselves a little pamphlet which will show the Constitution of the United States, and they might want to start reviewing it and reading it and then go from there to see how legislation gets worked out and things of that nature. Back to the people who we know who can't sleep at night, I think the whole idea is get yourself in a different direction. Don't allow yourself to be inundated with the same news over and over and over again. Rather, learn what your rights are, what the country's rights are, and begin to prosper in that way. I would say that there's a great opportunity if you want to distract yourself from the negative and get positive, to write a letter, make a phone call, do an email after you've looked at what Congress is investigating, what they're planning to vote on. Find out what that is. You can find out. It's there, okay? It's not so hard. And turn your energy into something positive that educates you so you can go forward with a confidence that you know what you're doing when you vote and you know what you're doing when you're talking. And to add to what you just said, Jill, in terms of talking to people, don't forget to listen to people. You don't have to respond and say, you're wrong, you're right. You don't even have to say you agree. Just learn from, let's learn from each other. We used to have neighborhoods. Unfortunately, other than in the Midwest, we don't have too many neighborhoods. But we've got to start speaking to people and listening to people. Contention, yelling, anger gets you nowhere. It gives you agita. And who needs agita?
Brahma Seltzer.
Well, that being said, you're absolutely right. With that being said, we only have about 30 seconds left, Jim, but you're absolutely right. My grandmother was a Democrat and the first woman on the Democratic States Central Committee in Connecticut many years ago. She was the first woman on the Democratic State. Good friends with Abe Ribicoff and Ella Grasso.
Another woman.
At that time, Sharon, Connecticut was very, very, very Republican. It's like 50-50 now. She had all her friends were Republican, and they had a time for what they called politicking. And once the politicking were over, they were all friends, and they went on, and they served the community.
Because
amen. Politics are just part of the life. They're not the whole life.
All right, Jim.
All right. God bless America. Let's just be grateful for what we have. And express our gratitude by learning and doing something about it. Have a great week. Good show. Love you both. Love all of you. Take care of yourselves.
Take care, Jim. Bye-bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. And you can find it online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch.